Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks to Pete for the update, as always. 11:18 today. We'll get into this USA Today story on whether or not NFL players would want to know if they are dealing with CTE already and whether or not they would take a test while living currently right now in the NFL if they could. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. He's out in Ashburn each day as the team gets ready for the Cardinals this week. I thought the question of Jay Gruden was good, which was, are they tinkering anything they're doing to get ready for Arizona after they looked so bad last week? I also loved his answer as he bristled and said we weren't playing checkers last week. What'd you make of that exchange?
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to say, like, oh, they're not prepared, which is a go-to of fans. And, you know, this week at least it makes a little bit more sense because you heard one of the players say it too, and DJ Swearinger, and be fairly vocal about it and direct about it. So I understand that sentiment, but like, they didn't magically decide to not show up for work last week. They went through the same process they went through all year, and I think the difference is the guys going through the process, and it doesn't necessarily mean just the talent on the field, but you have some younger guys who don't really know how to study tape as well as some of the veterans and might not notice the same thing. So sure, they look underprepared, but it's not like they changed anything from earlier in the season. It's just the caliber of football player and the caliber of football mind is decreased from earlier in the year. So I get what Jay's saying, and maybe, you know, you can take that information and go, well, they need to do a little bit more as a coaching staff to get these younger guys ready. And I think that's the case, but it's also a case where these younger guys kind of need to learn, lean on the veterans. If you don't feel like you know something, ask. So it's a two-way street, both players and coaches, of ensuring that they're ready to go on game day, even if the process has to change a little bit. But it's not like they weren't working.
How do they fare in this game? I mean, this is a worse opponent, presumably, than they faced this past week in the Chargers. But I don't know that Arizona is that much worse than Dallas was a couple weeks ago when Dallas couldn't manage a first down to save their lives. This Arizona team is pretty good defensively. Offensively doesn't scare you. But how do you see this one going?
Yeah, it's tough because they do have a really, really good pass rush. And, you know, if Trent Williams is going to play, and it looks like he will, and, you know, it's going to be like he was last week, and they're going to be all right. You know, Chandler Jones is incredible. I've been watching Chandler since he was at Syracuse because I was there with him. Like, this dude's incredible. He's great in New England. He's the NFL sack leader, I believe, right now with 14 for Arizona. But, you know, what Trent Williams did to Melvin Ingram last week was incredible. So they should be all right there, which is kind of their biggest threat. And then, you know, you keep an eye on Tyrann Mathieu and make sure that he doesn't create havoc, turnovers. You be selective at when you throw at Patrick Peterson and how you throw at Patrick Peterson. But on offense, they are extraordinarily challenged. And I would say probably even more than what Dallas was a couple weeks ago. And, you know, remember the Redskins defense started that game really well and they got put into a bad spot. So I think they, you know, if they're solid in special teams and things like that, where they have really struggled this year, like, this should be a competitive game. And really the Redskins should win this game, but it's just hard to say should with them right now, considering the last two performances and the, you know, the lack of talent on the roster due to injury depletion.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny, our Redskins beat reporter. You mentioned the defense, the regression's been real and it's happening all season long. And you know, they've got injuries on that side of the ball, just like they do on offense. But it seems like the performance on defense is worse even by the standards you'd lower your expectation to. What can they fix with the guys that they've got on the field right now. What are some areas where you think they're going to focus this week in practice to be better? Because I'm not expecting them to pitch shutouts, but you can't have what you just had in L.A.
Right. I think the biggest difference that you need to see is your good players playing well. You know, DJ Swearinger, for all of the talking he did after the game, and, you know, I think he's fantastic. I think he's a big part of this team's future. But he didn't have a good game last week. Like, he was in part responsible for both of the big plays that Josh Norman was. You know, we can talk about where the blame pie goes on those two plays, but both of them are involved. Both of them could have done better on both plays. And those were huge plays in the game, specifically that first deep ball. Norman, you know, is riding Williams' outside hip, expecting DJ to be in the middle, and his eyes are, you know, he's caught up in play action and then watching Quentin Dunbar cover Keenan Allen perfectly, which doesn't need any help, completely unaware of a post route coming over his middle third. Like, that kind of stuff can't happen, and especially when you've got DeShazer Everett out there, who's still a very, very young and inexperienced player. When you've got Zach Vigil at middle linebacker, you know, when you've got the not exceptional defensive line play, like, you need your good players to play well. And so I think it's just a matter of refocusing, getting those guys ready, and really playing your keys properly on Sunday. I don't really know, like, strategically what you need to change. You need to execute better. You know, they're playing the same kind of stuff they have all year, maybe simplified a little bit for some of the personnel. But on that side of the ball, they've got guys who have been here. The most, you know, I guess youngest face on that defense in terms of time with the Redskins is Zach Vigil, and he hasn't been a problem at all. He's played actually pretty well, much better than any of us, I think, anticipated. So, like, they should know the schemes. Even if you weren't a starter the entire year, you should know what you're doing. It's a matter of going and doing it. And I find it rather almost bizarre that they've been so bad, really, these past couple of weeks, that the attrition has been that bad. But really, I mean, the Monte Nicholson injury killed them because they lost the range over the top to protect from big plays, and Swearinger's had to play deeper as opposed to being more effective in the box. And then obviously Jonathan Allen was a huge loss as well. We've talked ad nauseum about how much he's meant to that defensive line.
Follow Craig Hoffman on Twitter at Craig Hoffman for Redskins Insight and what it looks like when a man has less than 3 pounds of body fat. Hoff, give me some scoop here on some of the youngsters. I'm looking Ryan Anderson, Fabian Moreau. I want Josh Doctson targeted like a dozen times each of these last several weeks to see what we got here. What are you looking for some of these kids?
Yeah, so we'll go in order there. Start with Anderson, right? So Anderson played a little bit more last week. You know, there's times where he only had like 8-9 snaps, and he was in double digits last week. And it's just, he's not that effective at this point. And I thought Jay actually had a really interesting comment on him last week, which you don't feel common with a second-round pick, but they felt like he's a high upside play, that he's a guy that they thought they could really teach the position this year, and then starting really in year two, he could be an effective player and hopefully grow into a dominant player. But they kind of knew, like, we've got some depth there, we're all right. And then the Trent Murphy injury happens, and your depth is taking a shot, and he hasn't been able to really be effective. So I don't know whether that's Jay protecting him or that's an honest thing from Gruden, but, you know, he's, you know, the fact that he wasn't super effective this year was not necessarily a surprise to them. They knew it'd be an adjustment period. But at this point, like week 15, it's time, man. You got to make some plays. And he's getting a little bit better. He's playing the run decently well. But as a pass rusher, there's just not much there right now. I would love to see him get some more reps. I would love to see Gallette get some more reps too, by the way, as a pending free agent, to see if you can up him and, you know, see what he's got moving forward, if he could play a heavier snap count. But for Anderson, like, I would love to see him get some more reps and see if he can get any kind of pass rush going at all against what is a really wounded Cardinals offensive line. Moreau is a special teams guy for right now. I think he's got immense physical skills. Obviously, his measurables coming out were really, really stellar. And he's shown them on special teams this year, specifically as a gunner, where he's been pretty flawless. But as a corner, every time he's played, it hasn't been there. And, you know, I think Dunbar, if you're going to look at a starter opposite Norman moving forward, like, I'd re-sign Dunbar and play him there because I think he's a legitimate NFL starter. And then you keep developing Moreau as a backup. You know, if he's your fourth corner with Fuller being your third, I think you're all right. If you're going to try to rely on Fabian Moreau, he hasn't done anything to prove himself so far at the cornerback spot. But you don't necessarily, like, as a long-term play, you know, in a couple of years, I think obviously you want him to develop into that. You spent a third-round pick on him. He's got the upside. It's a guy who many thought, if not for some of the injury concerns, could have been a first-rounder. But this year at cornerback, it's been ugly for him. But you know, it's year one. He's a rookie. Rookies can get better. I'm with you on Doxson, Danny. I want to see him get the ball a lot more. There was a couple of balls last week where Kirk just flat out missed him. You know, he's running deep, and the coverage should have taken him to Doxson, and he wins. He's got obviously a terrific challenge this week. You get to measure yourself against one of the best in Patrick Peterson. Can you win? You know, there's also plays last week, by the way, where, you know, he's going against Casey Hayward, and Hayward destroys him. That third and two slant is one where he cannot let Hayward get across his face, get in front of him in non-football terms, and break that up. So he's got a lot of work to do, but I want to see him get the opportunities to do it, and he's going to be out there for the snap. So let's you know, make him a primary read and throw him the ball some.
Greg Hoffman is on Twitter, at Greg Hoffman. Follow him for Redskins Intel. Thanks, buddy.
See you, man.
You got it. See you guys.
You bet. Next on Grant and Danny, that USA Today piece we referenced. Do players want to know if they could, and they can't? Obviously, you can only find out after, posthumously, you've died. Whether or not you have CTE is something you can't know while you're living. But if they could, would they want to know? A bunch of players were asked, including Kirk Cousins. We'll tell you what they said next on Grant and Danny. So if they could find out right now while living and playing in the league if they were suffering from issues of CTE. This is one of those subjects that's so difficult because I think every player probably has a very different opinion. But some of the answers were just stunning to me, and we'll go over some of them. But here's some of the specifics that you need to know first. CTE testing as of right now essentially can only be done posthumously. You cannot find out if you have CTE while living. They're working very hard on the science and trying to make sure that we change that during your lifetime, Danny, and my lifetime. There was a story, matter of fact, in Sports Illustrated that Dar just sent me from November of this year, right before Thanksgiving, where researchers feel like they may have detected CTE in a living person for the first time. They're not positive. They got to do a lot of more research to figure out if they did.
Sure. The most recent Boston test that we kind of are now quoting a lot, where all but two players tested out of north of 100 had CTE, and then 70% of college players or guys that played in high school, et cetera. She believes, the doctor who conducted that study, that there will be a living CTE test within the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Which is great.
Which kind of prompted this discussion.
So researchers at Evanston's North Shore University Health System believe they found traces of CTE in a former football player while he was still alive, and that was a report via the Chicago Tribune. The doctor that's heading up a lot of this research is Julian Bales.
Mm-hmm.
If you watched the movie Concussion, and it stuck with you like it's stuck with me,
mm-hmm.
That's the guy that Alec Baldwin played. So he was a team doctor for years for the Steelers.
Oh, was he the guy that his character, like, was the team doctor forever, then realized at the very end he had kind of a come-to-Jesus, change-of-heart moment? Yeah.
He was the one that the players would come to and they needed help, and he would just give them whatever they needed to feel better, basically. And him and Bennett Omalu worked very hard together before the end of the movie to try to fight back against the NFL. Well, Julian Bales, the real guy that Baldwin played, is one of the doctors that's leading this research. And what happened was they thought they had found CTE in this guy while he was living, as sad as this sounds. They then had to wait until he had passed to confirm that he had CTE. And sure enough, after this former player died and they tested him, posthumously diagnosed him with the disease. Further testing is now needed to prove the result that Bales and his team of researchers came up with, according to this Sports Illustrated story. But I bring that up just as a backdrop here to what USA Today was working on. And this was done via Sports Illustrated and MMQB. I don't know if this is in unison or the timing is just unique on this, that the Larry Johnson story came out yesterday and players were asked about it around the NFL yesterday. Because Larry Johnson says, I'm living with CTE.
He believes he is, yeah.
This is why I'm short with my daughter. This is why I have these blackouts where I can't remember, of fits of rage. This is why I am who I am, and I contemplate doing terrible things to myself and other people. He really believes that it's CTE and that his brain is being strangled, basically, from his days getting hit as a football player. So Sports Illustrated staff went around to a bunch of NFL players and asked them questions. Here are some of them. If a test to diagnose CTE existed, would you take it right now in your playing career? Kirk Cousins of the Redskins was asked. He said, yes, sure. I think there are other guys who would say, I'm going to play regardless. CTE is not going to change the way I approach the game, so why would I want that hanging over my head? And that's Cousins on what other guys might say. He said, I'm in a different position as a quarterback. My head's not getting hit every play. There are things I can do to avoid, slide, and get out of bounds. There's a player on the Detroit Lions who said, for sure, I think it would be a good idea to make it a part of youth football to have people periodically get checked. Ryan Khalil, the center for the Panthers. There was a test, yeah, but knowing that I have CTE or that I don't wouldn't be enough. Chris Long of the Eagles. I think this was really interesting. Would you take a test to find out if you had CTE, former Virginia product?
Yep.
I would take it, but I would also be very careful not to assign predictable behavior to my results.
I think this is such a good point.
I don't believe it's a slam dunk that if you have CTE, you're going to, quote, lose it, end quote. We're probably the last generation that will have no idea what's going on in our brains. I think the next generation is really going to know a lot, end quote. This is super smart to me. I feel the same way about depression. That was one of those things that like didn't get talked about. Or if you were depressed, you were sad, and that's your problem, and what's wrong with you? And now people understand it's this chemical imbalance you can't really control.
Sure, we know more.
Depression doesn't mean you're down on your luck or that you're basically choosing to be unhappy or that you don't look at the bright side. Depression is something going on in your head, just like anxiety and some of these other issues. Today, we're smarter about that. There are less stigmas that come with those things than 30 years ago, and presumably 30 years from now, we'll be smarter. I thought that was really an intuitive take from Chris Long. But the other thing I loved here is the assigning of things, because honestly, Danny, this is probably crazy. If I played in the NFL right now, I would not take this test. I would not find out if I had CTE. And my reasoning for that is the same, and call me crazy, maybe philosophically, this is just how I think. The same reason for years I didn't like going to the doctor. I don't really want to know. I just assume something, like, I'd rather live my life than worry about something constantly.
So what I try to do here when I thought of the same thing, and it's interesting you came to that conclusion, because here's what I'll say about it. I try to put myself in the shoes of somebody that has to forget about a lot to go do something exceptional every week. You know what I mean? Like, I love doing this. I love doing this gig. But let's say we found out that the radiation coming from this microphone was really, really bad, and it's really, really toxic. This is the best way I've got to feed my family.
I keep doing it.
To get my kid going to school, whatever. I probably wouldn't want to know that. So I put myself in a football player's shoes. In order to get to that level of being in the NFL, you've got to believe, and we talked about this with Robert Griffin a million times, your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. You've got to believe you're invincible. Can you imagine if I told you, just as a proposition, hey, every week, you're going to have to get in a car wreck 60 times. Just, you have to go out there and slam against somebody that's slamming against you. And, you know, the best case scenario is you only break a couple fingers, hurt your elbow, get your knee dislocated, have muscle aches, pulls, not be able to walk right by the time you're 40 years old and have a really poor quality of life. You go, yeah, I don't really care about the amount of money. I'm probably not signing up for that.
Right.
You've got to put a lot aside every week to go do this. And so I absolutely understand not wanting that information, because all that is right now is you make yourself feel weak. It's
your
in your head.
Microphone analogy is perfect. Because I can tell you, I wouldn't tomorrow just retire because I might get side effects. We don't really know. Does CTE definitely lead to at age 60? Like, I've talked to Ryan Kerrigan about this. Other guys who know the risks. And they say, well, maybe something will happen. Maybe it won't. It's worth taking the risk for the lifestyle, what have you. But would you just stop doing the show tomorrow if you found out that maybe being in front of this microphone as much as we are was a huge problem? I bet you wouldn't. Also, I wouldn't want to know for this reason, and people probably think this is crazy, but this is just kind of how I'm thinking on this. Every single time something happened, I would attribute it to that, if that makes sense. Like, every time I was super moody, or I was in a terrible mood, or anytime I had this super negative thought, like, I'm going to go punch that guy in the face, which could be just a normal reaction to a guy cutting you off and running you into the ditch or whatever.
Every time you lose your temper, it's that.
Absolutely. It's CTE. In the same way, I'm getting real here for you for a second.
Okay.
But like, since I found out I have one kidney, like, anytime something weird in my, like, in that area of my body happens, which,
like,
is just,
oh, I'm congested. I'm like, it's the kidney.
It's because I only have one functioning kidney. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And I found out randomly at 28 years old. So it's like this weird thing in my head. But I'm telling you, if you knew you had CTE, just the everyday life angers, frustrations, disappointments, self-fulfilling prophecy.
And we've seen this in my family when we had a diagnosis of an autoimmune disease, right? Where something where you don't trust your own brain. So you stub your toe. Does that mean You stub your toe because you're clumsy? Because I stub my toe. Fairly coordinated
stub
guy.
Stub my toe a lot.
But if I found out that I had something, it's the reason why I stubbed my toe was that.
Right.
Now you all of a sudden are living a certain way. Again, it becomes a channel, a groove that you kind of slide into.
Here's another one I want to read real quick. Artie Burns, who's a 22-year-old cornerback with the Steelers, when asked if he would want to know if he had CTE, would he take a test? He said, quote, "I definitely know I have it. I'm going to test positive for it. I don't need a test. It is going to tell me how much. Is it going to tell me how much I have? We play a physical sport, man. Humans are not made to run into each other." This dude's been in the league for a couple of years, barely old enough to drink, and is confident he's got CTE. So let's ask this question on the phones. 800-636-1067. I don't know if you gave your distinct answer. Would you take the test or not?
No.
I would not either.
If I was an NFL player, no.
I would not either.
Don't
I'm surprised we
tell
didn't
me
agree on
about
this.
It. I can't know.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Would you take the test? Would you want to know if you had CTE if you were playing in the NFL while still playing, while living? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 the Fan. USA Today asked NFL players all around the league, would they want to know if they had a test that they could take during their playing career to see if they were suffering from CTE? Would they want that test? Many of them said yes, including Kirk Cousins. Many of them said no, they wouldn't, including Artie Burns of the Steelers, who says he definitely knows he has
CTE. It feels like it
does,
yeah.
Which is scary and it's sad. And then there are some other questions, and this is a really good read. We can tweet it out at Funny Danny. You want to post it?
I will.
Michael Bennett of the Seahawks, among others, talking about this. Players should be required to know, he said. I'd want to know, but not a lot of guys would take the test. Everybody would be scared to know a little truth about themselves. Nobody wants to take an AIDS test, for example. Just the possibility of having it would freak you out. And that's kind of where I'm at. The less...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know, particularly with something, you can't necessarily control your mind all the time, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, you can't tell yourself, hey, don't worry about that. The thing you keep thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
If it was easy to do that, then I'd have no problem. But if I found out I had CTE as an NFL player, every single time for the rest of my life that any kind of emotion that could be linked to CTE, but also could just be an emotion that day because something's happening.
Sure.
I'd say, uh-oh, here it goes.
You're in traffic and you're pissed off like I was this morning.
Exactly.
Oh, CTE again. I mean, I tried to, somebody was, again, I'm on Twitter at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. In general, you and I preach information is lovely. We should never hide from information. The analogy I would try to draw, I already talked about what you and I do for a living with the mics, but I played college baseball, and all I ever wanted to do with my whole life was be a Major League Baseball player. That's it. If I found out during this process, if we were at the same time as the NFL is, or as football players are, in terms of learning what it can do to you. Now, no one's going to associate CTE with baseball, but let's say that they did. There's no way I'm not playing baseball. I loved it so much. It's what I spent all of my waking hours thinking about and trying to do. I just wasn't good enough. But if you told me, hey, here's your bargain, you'll get CT, but you'll play in the bigs, I'll do that. And so I have empathy for these guys
that relating to that, I mean, in terms of like broadcasting
right.
or talking about sports, I feel the same way. This is what I want to do. This is what is fun for me. And to be honest with you, if tomorrow it all goes away and you don't get to do it, it's all you've really done
right.
and it's all you've worked toward. What do you do? I mean, that's a weird feeling. Cousins also said if teams wanted that information, I would say no. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to be cut or traded when asked, what if you were required to take the test in order to play because of potential liability issues? So that's a question someone had on Twitter. What if the teams could find out if you had CTE and it made it more or less likely that they'd sign you? And Cousins said, basically, that would be a bad look because then that gets held against guys
yeah.
in a health setting. Let's go to Bill in Alexandria.
Hey, Bill,
what's up?
Yeah, hi. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I think if I were a player, I would not want to know if I had CTE. And the reason being is that it's going to affect the way you play the game. You know, if you know you have that, it's going to every play, every tackle, you know, your mind's going to be on it. So, I think just human nature is going to affect the way you play the game. And I think if the league mandated such a test so that players could know that, I mean, from what I understand, a test like that isn't available yet. You know, you have to be dead, you know, before they can determine that you have it. But if there was a way to determine it while a player is still active, then I think it should come with a caveat. You know, if a player has CTE, then, you know, depending on the stage or level of it, maybe they should only be mandated or allowed to play the game one more season, you know, or two more seasons to limit, you know, more.
But here's the problem, Bill. For all we know, and I'm just throwing a number out there, who knows? I mean, Danny's referenced the study a bunch where over 100 former players had tests conducted on them, and all but two of them had CTE. For all we know, 90% of players in the NFL who have played high school and college ball could have CTE.
Yeah, now so far it's been a self-selective population. And what I mean by that is these are those that were suspected of having it were submitted to this study.
Right.
I think it was 123 out of 125.
You know what I want me tested, you tested.
Of course.
I want some 23-year-old who's never played a sport who was a theater kid tested. I want to know if you bump your head standing up in an airplane 9 times and you bump your head at your house at some point.
Yeah.
Like, could that
my wife years
impact?
Ago was reaching up we had a small apartment and a pot fell down, hit her in the head, and she probably was concussed. Does she have it? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about.
Correct.
Of course you want the minimum baseline against the general population. Of course you do.
Chuck says, of course I would take the test. I think that it would be irresponsible to not use every tool available. Without your mind, what are you? Maybe you could use it to mitigate the damage and monitor its spreading. Here's where I will respond to that. I want to know everything I can do to improve any conditions of CTE. I want to know everything I can do to slow, if I have CTE, it getting worse. I want to know everything I can do to help myself. I'll learn about all those things and do them anyway, is my point if I play in the NFL.
And I understand,
by the way. I just don't want to know that I have it.
I 100% understand, because normally my position, that's why I was surprised to hear you say what you said. I would normally think, looking at the situation, that I'd be a guy that says, please don't hide from the information. Let's all get it. Let's all acknowledge it. We need as much info as possible about everything, no matter the subject. We should always have more information rather than less. So this is out of character for me, I feel like. But I guess that's a long way to say, I 100% understand those that think that I'm crazy right now because they would take the test. They go, of course you would take it.
I understand that as well.
I absolutely get it. I get it.
For me, it's protecting against myself, worrying every time something is not 100% right. And it's just something, again, like, I'll even say this. It's probably just personalized for me on, like, how often since I found out you have one functioning kidney that I think about, I only have one kidney.
Right.
Like almost every time I sit down to eat, I go, wonder what this meal's doing for my kidney. I would almost rather not know, because for 27 years, when I only had one kidney and didn't know it,
just living blind, yeah.
Just lived my life, had no idea. That was more comforting. I had less stress and fear and worry, and that was better to me.
So let me try to extend it even further to talk about what this perceived weakness might mean, okay? Again, going back to my own stupid athletic career. My freshman year in the fall, the condition of our field at where I was at GW was really bad. And there were a ton of bad hops. And I got it in my head that these bad hops, I just struggled. I made a ton of errors and had the worst freshman fall in the history of civilization. So what I did, I go, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go get a mouth guard. I'm going to go get a mouth guard, put it in my mouth, and then I'll feel more secure. And my coach was basically like, you jackass. It's now so much in your head that you're worried about this to this degree that it becomes self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not over it. That's the same kind of thing. I have the information. I've seen a couple bad hops in this infield. Now it's so much in my head, I'm trying to take precaution against it, and now I'm playing a different way than what got me to be a college baseball player. I'm playing tentative and scared, and that's not who you are. Imagine that times a million in terms of head trauma. And, do I not lean in this way? Do I not make this tackle a certain way? Can I not make this block? Can I not go up for this catch? Can I not hold the ball and fight for extra yards? You can't play scared. And that's how that would manifest for me. And again, I get the other side too.
My buddy Joe, who ate bread, who played independent league ball.
Old breadless Joe.
He's 100% with you. He said he's sure he was a catcher. He said all the foul tips and collisions at the plate. He's like, there's no way I didn't get a bunch of concussions. He said there's no shot I would care about concussions if it meant I got to play in the big leagues.
Breadless Joe Jackson.
I think a lot of people probably feel that way.
Yeah.
And that's why when we talk about this at the NFL level and making the game safer, you got to do everything you can to make the game safer. But at some point, this is an opt-in too, where there are jobs that are more risky than others. There are jobs where you've got to sign waivers before you get up on that platform to go outside that skyscraper and do whatever it is you're doing. And I think that's the way in the future we're going to have to view the NFL is you're getting paid a lot of money and you're doing something that you've always dreamed of doing, that you love doing. You're opting in. You now know this is a risk. This is a big deal. This is something that could hinder the rest of your life. Do you want to do it or not? And the big problem was that in the past, I don't think guys knew what they were getting into. Our double play every day at 11:45. What's going on with our lives that has nothing to do with sports? Another celebrity potentially running for president,
you say?
I need this to stop, by the way. I need celebrities being presidential candidates to stop as soon as possible. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Tommy just sent me what could have been a double play today.
Whoa.
So just file this away. We'll either get to it on the show some point later, or we'll definitely hit it tomorrow. D.C. has a Wawa.
What?
A Wawa has been opened in Washington, D.C. Someone was actually telling me that this was coming, which I couldn't believe. And here we are.
This is good.
Beloved convenience store.
Your move, Sheets.
Now, of course, it's not a gas station because there's nowhere to get gas in Washington, D.C., but it's just like a
hundreds of places.
Bottom of a office building. You walk in, you do whatever you want at Wawa.
Doesn't even need the gas because it's so convenient. Good Sandoz, good everything, really.
Big dime.
Whatever you want. I love it.
It is time for our double play. We do it each day at 11:45. What's going on, non-sports? Saw this yesterday. I need everyone to understand I love this guy. One of my favorite celebrities. Okay. I have loved this guy since I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I need him to not run for president. I need no one to vote for him for president. I need no celebrities who are not qualified to run the country and therefore the world to be the president of the United States. This is not a commentary on Donald Trump. This is a commentary on the presidential position that is important to me, being held by people who have worked for 40-plus years learning the ins and outs and traveling the world and meeting world leaders. I just need people that aren't movie stars, celebrities, or random rich people to be the president of the United States.
Okay. If you've appeared on a WWE event, is that a good rule?
I would say that's a good first rule. If you've ever wrestled in the WWE, you should not be president of the United States. This was the Ellen Show yesterday. There's been a lot of speculation over the last year. The Rock was one of the most positive, kind of influential, happy, uplifting celebrities that we have. He's an awesome dude. Might dabble into the presidential campaign game. And he just has kind of been coy and said, oh, I don't know. I've thought about politics. He basically yesterday said, yeah, I'm legitimately considering running.
You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know if this is true, but people talk about you running for president. What do you think if you would run for president?
Sure. You know, I'll give a serious answer.
This is Kevin Hart who keeps talking while she's trying to interview The Rock.
This is daytime TV, so I'll keep my real opinion between us. No, you know what, man? I think the world that we're living in today, you're seeing the real effect that genuine people like Dwayne have. And the one thing about him is he's very serious when it comes to spreading that love, that laughter, and just the upselling of life on a positive level. And if he were to put himself in that position, he would get my support cold-heartedly. I mean, unless it comes to a financial dollar, then we got to talk.
Yeah.
But I know where his heart is. I really know him. So I know if he puts himself in that position, it's for the better of the people. I can only applaud him and support him for doing that. I would
Thank
have
you,
to
man.
Sit up like, well, and applaud the big guy.
Will you run? I mean, would you, seriously, would you run?
I'm seriously considering it, yes.
Well, you
really?
Can. He can't physically run.
Okay.
No, he can't run. His knees are bad.
No, I can
it's
run.
Really That's bad knees.
Yeah, I don't run in New York Marathon.
That'll be tough if the president
run.
Ever had to run.
Like, don't say, I
president, get away, go! He's not going to be able to do it.
He's not.
No, his knees
don't
are bad.
Don't encourage him, guys. That's it.
Knees are horrible.
All right. That's exciting. That's exciting news that you would run. I think.
Would you want me on your team? Would you want me to do something? There's a lot I can do.
It's a great Kevin Hart.
There's a lot you shouldn't do.
But there's a lot.
There's more zings. I don't want to wait through them to get to more of The Rock's content. So she tries a couple times to get into it, and then Kevin Hart keeps talking for some reason. But there's more there where basically he says, yes, I'm seriously considering running for the president of the United States, and he feels like he would have a lot of support and would be able to do what he has to do to get on a ballot at some point.
The people's champ.
Can you imagine?
The promos
as Tom
would be
was
great.
Saying, though,
yeah.
First of all, he's so good on the mic. I mean, he would be. You thought Obama gave good speeches? The Rock would give the greatest speeches in the history of presidential campaigning. That's number one. Number two, the inauguration, when instead of playing like, dun, 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 when it's like, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, and they're playing wrestling music.
He'd have to throw that in at various rallies. Well, The Rock says this, and he'd get into like whoever his opponent was.
Right. He's like, John McCain, I'll whoop you all over Denver.
Take that primary, turn that sumbitch sideways. Like, he would go through the whole nine yards.
Entertainment. I need this to stop, though.
Okay.
If you're okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're at on The Rock for president.
I like The Rock.
I would like a new rule where just being a celebrity doesn't make you a presidential candidate ever again in the history of the world.
If you've been rock bottomed or stunned or been thrown out of the ring, there's nothing wrong with that, but let's not have you be in charge of like nuclear weapons. Right? Isn't that like a kind of a fair deal?
I think that's a fair deal.
Is that fair?
I mean, people are pointing out Ronald Reagan was an actor before he took office. Fine. That's an example of a guy. He was also the governor for and served in office for an extended period of time. So if The Rock wanted to work his way up and actually, I don't know, go to training camp in the preseason and have a job at some point, then maybe I could make him manager of the office. But you don't just get to just swoop in and become the manager of the office. Like I wouldn't want Arnold Schwarzenegger to be the president because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But he's governed.
But he has been a governor. Like, yeah. He has been a politician. He's played the game to some extent.
And yes, jerks were aware that he wouldn't be eligible to be president because he wasn't born in the United States.
Correct.
We got it. Everybody settled down.
But my point is.
Yes, you have a good point.
Like, to say if you've been in a movie, you can't be president is I'm doing a little bit of shtick. Mm-hmm. But we're in a weird place here. We're like, remember all the stories like Kanye West will run for president in 2020. Please don't.
Please don't do that.
The Rock will run. Nope. I don't need that. How about we find a governor somewhere or maybe someone who has, I don't know, traveled the world as some part of a cabinet who is qualified for this job. It's a very important job. We
it's
should
pretty
act like
job.
It's an important job.
That is something that it's an important job.
It is
job.
Significant that the person running our country, and in turn, most of the time the world, is a qualified person. Let's go the route of finding qualified people, not people we liked when they wrestled Triple H.
The best people, only the good people, the best people, terrific, terrific people, believe me.
What's your take on The Rock for president?
I like The Rock. I like The Rock kind of where he's at, which is making a lot of movies that I don't really watch. Big action flicks where he like grimaces once and then saves everybody and like turns out to be the good guy. I like him less in Doom and more in like my action flicks that I think are pedantic and stupid. But he seems like a really good dude. Seems like a lot of fun. He's a nice guy. He likes Kevin McCarthy a lot. And
so you
they
want
tweet
him to
lot.
Run for president?
No. I like The Rock
no,
where
I'm
he
just
is.
Kidding.
I like The Rock exactly where he's
like
at.
He does like Kevin McCarthy. He might be in the cabinet. That would be big.
BDK says this. Like, I would love that.
That would be a good time for everyone. Grant and Danny on the Fan, your blitz on the teams in town you care the most about next 12 o'clock hour. Am I patient zero? I will defend myself on the Fan.
Folks, Danny Ruya here for my guys at Tedbert Ford. Right now is the time I'm talking about right now. Get yourself a brand spanking new ride before Christmas time hits. Before the new year, you, I'm talking about you, could be driving around in an excellent, terrific Ford truck, car, or SUV. Speaking of trucks, how about the number one truck in these United States? The Ford F-150, $249 a month. That's the lease deal. Check out this purchase deal. This is something you can do. When you buy from Tedbert Ford an F-150, how about $11,000 off the MSRP? Oh, is that a lot of money? Yeah, it is, bro. 2017 Ford Focus as low as $11,999. 2018 Escape, you can lease one for just $199 a month. Ford Fusion, just like your pals, except I got the 2017 version. You could get the 2018 version. Lease one for just $199 a month. Or you want to buy? Again, it's your choice. It is your choice. Up to $6,000 off the MSRP. Here's your bottom line. Fairfax Chantilly, just click away at TedBritt.com. You go, you buy from them, you get treated great. Ted Britt for life, that's lifetime vehicle coverage, new, pre-owned, anything less than 100,000 miles, you get taken care of. Big stuff, powertrain, little stuff. Replace your battery once every couple of years because they're excellent. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford, and please tell them, Danny, thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.